of applause that put all this together. Tell them thank you. Thank you so much. It's a lot of work. They get here early, and I'm very, very grateful for the things that they do because they work hard, and they deserve our appreciation. But let me tell you, I went to a funeral today, and when you go to a funeral, it's not always the same atmosphere. Today, I went to a funeral where there was a man that has been saved. His life reflected that. And he went home to be with the Lord. And we celebrated, and we had a good time. That's a funeral. It's a sad time, but it's different. It's different than when a person that you're not sure. And this is why that I'm talking about this. You could hear people talking in the background, especially them, you know, them sweet little older ladies. I say older because I don't want to get in trouble. But, and you hear them saying things like this. You know, one day we're going to be with him too. Him meaning God. One day we'll be with him and it won't hurt anymore. And we won't have any more pain. And when I get out of bed, I won't struggle. It'll just be easy. It'll be easier. And I look forward to that day. It's what them ladies were saying. And I tell you, you know, I began to find myself lost in their conversation and enjoying it because the more I listened to them, I found myself wanting to be present with God just for a moment. I'm not telling you that I want to leave here, but I wanted to be with him. And it was really, really encouraging to want to know, to hear somebody say that, you know, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to go be with him. And you know, the Bible says that there's a few things that says specifically about heaven, about what it will not have. In Revelation 21, starting in verse 3, says, "And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away." And I want you to focus right there. The former things have passed away. Think about that. No more tears, no more pain, no more crying. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? That's what we get to look forward to as Christians. You know, and God promises those, that's what it's going to be like. And we often listen to, found in Scripture and found in just everyday speech, you hear people say, God is light, God is love, and God is good. But think of it, when someone speaks about God is light, light is a physical thing, and they say God is light. You know, God is love. Love is an emotion, but it's physical. It's more than emotion, it's an action as well. It's a feeling, it's the way you treat someone, but it's that. But when we say God is good, often what we think of is good is a description of God, like God is good, as if he could be measured that way. I believe what he's saying is God is good, as if God has ownership of good, of if it's good, then it's God's. And that's the way that I'm going to look at this whole thing right here. But there's a problem. What happens when our mind goes astray? And good becomes different, maybe, than what God says good is. You know, the world, the sinful world, especially what you guys see. And let me be clear before we go into this. You guys see more television, more radio, more advertisements than I do. I can't tell you anything that you have not already seen. Would you agree with that? Shake your head. Yes, if it's out there, you've seen it, right? You've seen it. You've seen the crazy stuff that this thing will put on you. But the world tells you, hey, it's all right to live your way. It's okay as long as it makes you feel good. You know, it's okay to even, you know, be in charge. You're in control of your decisions, and that's good because you need to lead your life. Isn't that what you hear out there? And anything or anybody that stands in the way of that right there has become the enemy. And I know I'm jumping right into this, but I got a lot of ground to cover. Anybody or anything that stands in the way of that is the enemy. That is often The mindset, it's like this. The evil of this world starts to allow itself and us to define what is good, when in all actuality, the only thing is good is what Jesus Christ offers. That's what we've got. He offers good. Will we receive it? That's what matters. You know, the Bible tells a different story than what the world does. It's like this. The Bible talks about our mindset and what we will do with it. And then immediately it turns around and it mentions what God will do when it's His way. And Solomon actually wrote about it in Proverbs chapter 16, and it's in verse 9. It says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. You know, there's been a lot of times in my life that I come up with a way. I had my idea. You know, and I didn't allow God to make my steps. Guess where it led? The wrong path. And you know, it's a lot farther walk once you've gone down the wrong path back to the right path than if I would have just stopped and asked Him, Lord, is this right? Lord, lead me. I don't have so far to turn around. But if you were here for Sunday school, and again, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand because we're going to capitalize on something. And I see Brother Joe Turlington raising his hand, but he just wasn't in our Sunday school. He was at Sunday school. I saw him. Just a different Sunday school class. You know, do you remember the video that we watched? Do you remember the young lady from, where was she from? The Ohio State University. She threw the in there. Red shirt on. And she was talking to a professor. It was a Christian professor. And she said this. She had one simple question. She said, do you believe that I'm going to hell? And he said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, I don't believe that there's a Christian God. Do you believe that God's going to send me to hell? What did the guy say? He didn't answer the question directly because it was very harsh. What he did was he answered in an indirect way. He said, God will never force anybody to be in His presence that doesn't want to. That's it. And she said, well, you didn't answer my question. And he said, well, why would God let you in heaven? And she said, well, because I'm a good person. And he said, define good. And she said, well, I don't tell lies. I'm generally kind to people. You know, I'm, you know, pretty straightforward. And I just, you know, I'm just an all-around good person. And he asked her, he said, but you told me that you don't believe God is real, yet you want into His heaven. And she said, well, there's just no proof that there's God. Well, if there's no proof, then how could you possibly believe in heaven? That's a ridiculous theory. That doesn't make any sense. And he answered so kindly. And he was so soft-spoken. But here's the thing. She didn't believe in a Christian God. So I'm going to tell you right now, she was deciding in her life what was good. She wasn't leaving it up to Him. The man made a very, very good point when he said that God's never going to force you to be with Him. Now, there's a few things that the Bible says about heaven and what is good. And one of them is this. Heaven is we're going to have a spiritual body. I don't know what that means. Do you know why those people are saying amen back there? Because their body's about wore out. And they hurt. Their body's wearing out fast. It's got little cracks and wrinkles like I got right here. They got more hair than I do. Mine's running from my face. And right now, their body's done. It's wore out, and they're just hanging on to everything. They're grasping for straws. But your body's fine right now, right? Everybody feels good. You don't pop and crack, do you? Well, it's gonna change. It's going to change. Those times are coming. But you're going to get a new body if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you accepted that. You'll get a new body, but you'll be in heaven. But let me be very, very clear about how this is. There has to be a spiritual change. If you want to be in the spiritual body that He provides, there's got to be a spiritual awakening in you. And you say, help me, what's that mean? I want to help you. And this is it right here. I want to be alive in Jesus Christ. And if I'm alive in Jesus Christ, what that means is I have to be spiritually alive, awake. And I have to look at what he calls good, not what I call good. It's a thought process. It's thinking like the Lord wants you to think. In Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, it says, And you hath he quickened. He's saying, and you he hath quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, let's call it like it is. I don't want to sugarcoat this. That young lady that was a little arrogant, and you know what I'm talking about, that was in that video. She had a little pop to her voice. That is a child of disobedience right now. Now, she can turn her life over to the Lord and he'll accept her. I believe that. But she was doing things her way, her good. But if you go back to the scripture, it said, and you hath he quickened. What's quickened mean? Quickened. This is a reference to you were dead in your sin. Now he's quickened you. You have become spiritually alive. And now you will be able to listen to the Lord and use what he calls good, not what we call good. And this is I'm going to talk about myself here just a second. Christians aren't immune to falling into that same category, that same way that young lady thought. I find myself getting out of line from time to time with the Lord. I find myself getting off track. People say, well, you're a Christian, you can't do that. Hey, I'm telling you, I've done it. It still happens. Then what happens is because the Holy Spirit lives in me, he begins to put me back together and wind me back in because I allow him to, because that's what's best for me. I want his good, not my own. But what I really want is this right here. And from a man saying this, y'all are going to think this is weird. But I really wish I could just let God hug me and tell me it was all right. You know, have you ever seen these TV shows where these people are standing outside of stores and they're giving away free hugs? It's a hit. Have you ever seen them where they sell a hug for a dollar? You would be amazed at the people that'll buy a hug for $1. What if God would reach down and you could say, Lord, hug me, and he did? Now listen, men ain't supposed to be huggers, but I'm telling you right now, I'd let him hug me. I'd want him to. Every day when I got out of bed, I wish the Lord was like, good morning, Alan. Good morning, Lord. That would be great. And when I got out of the shower and I got ready to go, I wish he was like this. Have a great day. I'm going to be with you all day long. And when you get back, we're going to hug again. That would be absolutely perfection. But you know, that's God's love. That's what God really wants to do. But let's look at the word hug. Let's break it down. And I want hugs from the Lord. H-U-G-S. Just make it simple. What does God offer that's good? What is it that I'm looking for from the Lord that's really good? What are those signs? I'll tell you one thing. What's humility? You know, that's becoming harder and harder to find. And at the same time, it's becoming harder and harder to do. Humility. You know, humility is not arrogance. It's not judgmental. It's not impatient. And that is something that is so easily that comes about on you. But I tell you what, let's read from Isaiah 57 and 15, and it says this. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones. You know, if I'm going to be revived, if I'm going to be built up, you know where it's got to come from? You know who's got to build me up? I can't build myself up. It's false. I can't build any of my future on it. It won't work. But if I build my house on the rock, Jesus Christ, He'll build me up. If I'm humble enough to say, Lord, this is about You and it's not about me, and let You build right here, Lord, build right here on my life, He'll use you. He'll build you up. In the end, let's be truthful, He's the only one that matters. There's not another one. It's kind of like this kind of example. And I want you to raise your hand if you've run into this person. Have you ever run into somebody that says things like this? I'm just the kind of person that has to speak my mind. If it comes to mind and it's in my heart, it's going to come out of my mouth, because that's just the way it is. And if I got something to say, I'm just going to say it, whether they like it or not. You ever heard somebody say that? Let me warn you, they're dangerous. That's a dangerous attitude to have. You say, why? You know, one of the gifts that God gives us inside that humility, you know what it is? The ability to shut your mouth. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? He said, shut your mouth. Let me tell you, that matters. There's times where, Quinn Evans said this. Did you know that an ounce of shut mouth is worth a pound of I wish I never said it? Once it gets out there, it's out there. And if you're, I just got to tell them exactly how I feel. I'm that guy. I'm unhappy with the way this is going. Let me tell you what I got to say. Ooh, that don't reflect humility at all, does it? Dangerous. Not what I want to be a part of. What they do is they don't mind pointing out other people's flaws. And let's face it, all of us have fell into that trap. But what's the Bible say about pointing out people's flaws? It says it in Matthew chapter 7. It says, in paraphrasing here, it says, worry about the cross tie that is in your eye before you worry about the speck that's in your neighbor's. See, I can't help you if I'm barking at what you did and you did wrong. That ain't going to work. You're going to look at me like, man, back up a little bit. Praise God a little bit. Get off of me. And I've seen that. You know, truthfully, the Lord wants you to be humble. Some people look at it as a step backwards for me to say, you know what, I'm not up here. I'm down here. And the only reason I'm ever going to get any better is because of Him. See, that's not an insult. It doesn't make you less important. It just makes you right with God if you're humble in front of Him. And let's look at the you in hugs. How about understanding? We're all struggling with something. Raise your hand if you're struggling with something right now. It's okay. I'm going to raise both of them. If I could get my feet up and not fall down, I would. That's just the truth. There's things that I'm struggling with right now. And I want you to look, everybody in this place raise their hand. You know what that means? Everybody's struggling with something. Think about it is, I understand you're struggling. You understand I do. So when we get all fired up, going back to the humility, we want to fire off insults and things like that. Hey, you better remember, we're all struggling. Every one of us. In Matthew 22, starting in verse 37, it says this. It says, Jesus said unto them, and you've heard me quote this over and over from up here, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. I believe that. And number two, it says, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, you're going to have a hard time convincing people. You see them out there. You've had somebody jump on you. You know what I mean. When somebody's on you about something you did or something they didn't like, you got a hard time feeling like they love you, don't you? You do. It's like my children. When one of them's about to get in trouble, sometimes I'm loud. And they look at me like, I'm not real sure if he loves me right now. And I have to go to them and say, look, I'm only like, because I love you, I don't want to scare you. I want you to learn. I want to help you. What I want them, I've got to be understanding. Anything that they do wrong, most likely I've done it wrong before they did. People don't like to hear that they're wrong. But what we're truly here for, and according to the scriptures, we're here to help one another. That's what the book says. Outside the doors, right out there, you don't have to go far. When they have trouble among one another, instead of bringing the trouble to light among one another and loving each other and helping each other through it, what they do, and you've seen it in the recent election, you see it on Facebook every day, you see it on everything else, they tear each other apart. And they bite and they do nasty things and they say things to people that hurt, that last for a lifetime. Let me reassure you, that is not what God wants from you. What God wants from you is to be exactly who He called you to be and let Him do good in you. What He calls good. The truth is, people make mistakes. I know some people that God bless them, they know everything and they're going to tell you how to do everything. And when they get into heaven, I believe they're going to try to tell God how to do it. They're going to say, God, I got this, just let me run it. And it ain't going to work that way. And they're kind of like that. But you know, what if God did that to us? What if every time we mess up, He was just straight on it? You know, God does speak to us when we mess up. You know what God says to us? Come here. He gets real close and He says, I just want you to know that I love you. And you made a mistake. And we're going to get it right. I just want you to know, most of all, that I love you. That's what He says. You know, that's the way that the Lord reacts, because God has mercy and shows restraint. Restraint's another good thing God offers. You know, He has every right to simply destroy us because we've wronged Him. But He doesn't do that. What we have to do is show restraint to one another, because it matters. And the G in the word hug stands for genuine. And I like this one too. Genuine. What's genuine mean? God doesn't accept knockoffs. You know what that means? You know what a knockoff is? Hey ladies, you ever seen the Coach purse? You ever seen the fake Coach purse that you can't tell the difference? That's called a knockoff. All right. Those are much cheaper. I like those. I remember when I was in school, I had to have a pair of Nike tennis shoes. Raise your hand if you got a pair of Nike tennis shoes in here. I bet everybody in this room's got a pair of Nikes somewhere. All right. Well, Walmart had this brand, and the kids called them Strikies, but the word was strike. And it looked very similar to Nikes. And there were some kids wearing them to school, and other kids would be like, those aren't real Nikes. Well, irregardless of what you thought about the shoe, yes, they weren't real Nikes. But what's it matter? You know, it's a pair of shoes. But you know, to God, it does matter. He ain't worried about your tennis shoes. He wants the real you. You got to be genuine. In other words, if I am going to go to live with God forever and accept His goodness, I've got to genuinely be saved. It can't be an act. It can't be, Lord, I went to church. God, I went to church. Isn't that good enough? I went to the youth group stuff. When they went down and prayed, I went with them. It's one of those things. The relationship with God has to be real. It's like this. You got to say, I'm the real deal, and be okay with it. You've also got, listen, you heard people say, I'm the Jesus freak, right? That's an old song. But you still like it. It's a good song, right? I'm a Jesus freak. I'm not always perfect, but I'm not ashamed of it. You know, sometimes people, who's been heckled? Who's been made fun of because you love the Lord? Oh, yeah. You know what? It used to make me so scared. Now I'm like, come on with it. Keep on. You want to make fun of me because I love the Lord? Bring it on over here and then let's talk about it. It changes as time goes on. But you know, God is truly wanting a genuine relationship out of you. He's hunting you right now. Why is God hunting you right now? Why do you feel God speak to you so much, so young in your Christianity? You know why? Because He wants to make a lasting, loving, huge difference in your life before anybody else gets to you. Because once they get out there to you, you want to be ready for it. When they come to you and they're like, hey, I've heard other people say this before. When you tell somebody you're a Christian, especially on a job site, just give Him time. Just give Him time. He'll change. You want to impress Him? Don't give in. Keep being God's person. And then they'll look up and they'll say, he's the real deal. He's genuine. And the S in the word hugs is sincerity. What is sincerity? Well, it's kind of like genuine. I'm being real about what I do. That's where it's all about Jesus comes in. That's what this whole thing's about, right? It is all about Jesus Christ. It is about our relationship with Him and nothing else. And it's not a decision that you make on your own to say, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ the rest of my life. I know that sounds strange to say that. It's like this. You make that decision with Him. You go to God and say, God, I'm going to follow You the rest of my life. Because I'll be honest with you, you can't do it without Him. It'll never work. I remember, and this is a little embarrassing actually, when I was, it really wasn't that long ago, I got up one morning and I knew that the Lord had been speaking to me, and I decided, you know what? I was quite a bit younger. I said, you know what I'm done? I'm done sinning. I'm not going to sin no more. You ever done that? I'm done sinning. I'm through with it. I'm going to live life just like the Lord wants me to from this point to the end, and I'll never sin again. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch Christian movies. And I'm going to turn on the radio and I'm going to listen to Christian music. And I'm not going to let nothing get to me. I'm done. I'm through sinning. Everything's going to be good. And I remember that was the morning. So I sat down on the couch and guess what? Come on TV. It was a Christian, I think it was The Passion, actually. Good movie. And I'm watching it and I hadn't said a word. Tracy's looking at me, you know, what's wrong with this guy? You know, he ain't said a word to me all day. And they're watching it, and she notices I'm becoming to act strange and weird. And in an attempt on my part to do such a good job of not sinning and please God, you know what I had done? I had angered my entire family. That's what I had done. So in order to do such a good job, I just made everybody mad. Way to go, Dad. You did a good job. You know, that's what I mean when I say sincerity. It's not something you can do alone. It is something you have to do with Him. Remember the scripture? Proverbs 16:9. In a man's heart, he deviseth his own way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Does it change the meaning just a little? It is truly all about Him. In Psalms chapter 9, 1 and 2. I've got to get there. I'm here. This is the way that I think I want to start my day. This is what I want to do. The Lord's not there to give me a hug. I want one, but I'm going to have to wait till I'm with Him. It says, I'll praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee, and I will sing praise to Thy name. That's special. I really want it to be all about God. All the good in this world and all the good in this life can't be up to me. I got to look for what He calls good. And this is why that's important. Anything in this life that I can look at and find that I do not want to take to heaven with me is not good. That's what we're doing, is we're practicing to be residents in heaven forever. And if I have nastiness in my life, if I have judgment and bitter and loud and let me tell you exactly how I feel, is that going to go over in heaven? Then why would I have it now? I want God to remove them things from me. I think it's very important that we tell God, Lord, this is... I want You to lead me. I don't want to come up with my ideas. My ideas have already failed me. I know that You are the only way. That's what we have to tell God. Now, if You would, I want you to stand to your feet. Where's Savannah? Would you come up for me? Now, in just a minute, Savannah's going to sing a song and we're going to close. But if God spoke to you, and you want to speak to Him, remember, if God's speaking to you, that's His way. He's talking to you. The best thing you could do is just respond. That's all you can do. Well, how about if you don't know the Lord? What about you say, I don't have a relationship with God? You know, that can change today. Right here. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have to go another minute without it. So I won't go any longer. Lisa.